This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What up, y'all? We are back for another episode of The Barn. I'm Nisha.
And I'm Tempe.
And today we are going to be talking about the bar for millennial lore. We are your neighborhood friendly millennials, and we have a lot of things that we need to discuss because, you know, millennials, we set the tone for so many things, and these Gen Zs, they just could never. But we're not bashing Gen Z today. We're just talking about our lore. Tune into it.
But before we get there, we're going to first talk about our media moment from this past week. Nisha and I both tuned in to Meghan Sussex's new Netflix show. Meghan Markle, as we all know her actually as. Right. And I think the show is called With Love or With Love from Meghan.
With Love, Meghan, yeah.
Oh, With Love, signed Meghan, but the signed is not spoken. Right. So I watched a little bit more than Nisha did. However, we both watched enough to have an opinion about where we foresee this series going. And I want to just start off by saying Meghan Sussex, I respect where you're going. I see you, my biracial queen. I know you're trying to tap into what currently is the Ina Garten lore, the Martha Stewart lore, Wishbone Kitchen, if anyone is really into that type of aesthetic, Nancy Myers. I know I am. I'm a huge Martha stan, huge, huge Ina stan. I also enjoy Wishbone Kitchen, if anyone is interested in an influencer that's young. I think she might be Gen Z. However, the lore of those three white women, to me, is it seems believable. And I will start off by saying, Meghan, baby, the staged production is very unbelievable. And it's very challenging. Sorry, Nisha, what'd you say?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you that it's so unrealistic. Like, it's giving scripted damn near.
Ooh, it really is. And I only watched two episodes. I've only seen two guests. And both of those guests know Meghan. Know Meghan pre-Sussex. And it's very apparent that they are trying to be their authentic selves, but look like they're walking on eggshells in how that they are maneuvering and speaking to her.
Yes, and that's so true. I didn't even, like, when you just said that, I didn't even think about the guest perspective. It's like, I took notes. I have notes that I would like to share. My notes were all about her, but you're so right. Like, especially that first, the first guy, like, he looked visibly, like, not comfortable.
He looked like he did not know what Meghan he was getting that day. And that makes me question if that was a new Meghan for him, because even at the end when he was being lighthearted and funny, it looked like he was like, fuck it, I'ma just be myself at this point. We at the end of the film, man. I'ma give you a little giggle here. But yes, agreed.
Girl, there was a few things that happened, and prior to this, I have been a Meghan supporter because she is black, quote unquote. And I said to you, I really feel like I get why the British media hated her now, because they're basically like, you are presenting as something you're not. And they are also racist. Let's call a spade because I think there was like an article that was talking about like her mom with her dreadlocks coming from Compton. I was like, whoa.
That shit was crazy. The Brits was tearing our black asses up. We was
Girl.
all taking, we was all catching fades.
Every turning us every way but loose.
It was crazy.
But I just remember thinking, like, after seeing her behavior on this, I'm like, so it feels like you're acting. It feels like you tried to finish this persona of being in the royal family. Like, I can't imagine me being me and like I'm in the royal family now and they're like all prim and proper and like, using fucking baby spoons for certain desserts. And I'm like, So I feel like she tried really hard to fit in. And I think she's took that with her. And I think it showed because something I learned from our show Downton Abbey, you're either born with that aristocrat blood or if you're not, they can like pick up on it. So I feel like she was really trying, but she said a few things like the way that she speaks, it's very precise. Like it's not, it's very clipped and precise the way she speaks. She says things like she was making the wax and she was like, "Now we're talking turkey." And I was like, "What?"
Yeah, what the fuck is that? I've never heard that a day in my life. And isn't
Girl.
Miss Sussex the same age as us?
I think she might be
Look,
41
I'm
maybe.
gonna look that up while you're talking.
Yeah, look that up. There was a part where she makes him tea and she tries a tea and she like covers her mouth and she's like and he's like, "It's so good." And it was literally like she just made tea. It's just tea.
It was tea with turmeric. And honey, can we talk about the honey for a moment? Because that's where one of the notes I took. And before I do that, she's 43. She is not the same age as us. I want to make it very clear that we are talking millennial lore. We are millennials, but bitches on this
She said,
podcast ain't 43. We not 41. We not 40. We're not,
we're mid-30s.
yes. And we're not almost 40. Okay, so I want to just plug that because I'm sick of that. Okay, anyway, the honey that transcended throughout that episode as if we were living in the year 3045 and we do not have bees. And she brought bees back to life and she was teaching us her first time experience harvesting honey. I wanted to literally scream, bitch, we get it. We know how honey is made, bitch. We all seen bees. Like that's a part of like school days. Like when you're a young child, you learn about fucking bees and honey. I wanted that moment to be her personality, like showing how much fun she's having harvesting bee, excuse me, harvesting honey.
I didn't get that she was having fun at all.
No. The bitch was cooking with a goddamn sweater draped over her shoulders. Don't get me wrong, the fits is on point. She looks excellent. She looks
Does.
gorgeous. She is stylish. I think she was wearing Laura Piana, whatever that expensive ass brand is. I don't even know where they sell that shit at, baby. But I know that that is Monte. And she looked great. But again, to your point, you're so stiff, you don't look fun.
So stiff, she knows fun girl. That cake she made looked stiff. It was giving cornbread. I was not impressed by that. And then there was two other things she said. She mentioned Beyonce Cozy, and she said it so uncomfortably. It was like, "You don't even know that song, girl." I was like, "You're cozy like Beyonce or something like that." And I was like, "Ew." And then she said something about they need to seal the edges just like our hair, bitch.
So
Ma'am, you don't have edges. You have women's hair.
And the thing is, I clocked those, and I wouldn't say that she was uncomfortable. I think it was when the facade was beginning to crack. She was trying to dip into the Megan that we all want to see. And then she was like, "Oh, wait, let me bring it back so I sound prim and proper," like you said. Like she wants to sound a certain way. She did. Maybe it's a trauma response because it was whooping her ass in Britain for what, a year? I don't know how long she was there.
I'm telling you, she went to the UK, and that's the first time she was ever she found she realized that, oh wait, they see me as black. Yeah, they see me as chocolate over here.
And I think that what really stood out to me to this point that we're making is, Megan, we want you to give cheeky. We want you to show us your quirks. And there were moments where you were doing staged, scripted quirks, and it was giving, holding back. Therefore, I think that she's so concerned about the media spin about her being this terrible person, allegedly, that she's now trying to be as scripted as possible so she's not perceived as mean or nasty. But she doesn't realize that that holding back is coming off patronizing. Like, I feel like, especially like you were talking about that first man, like, I feel like she was teaching him things that she also just learned. Like, bitch, you just learned about the candles, and you was talking to him like you was teaching him.
Reminds us of someone we know, huh?
Yes, like, and you can't walk around and want to be perceived as perfect to negate all the negative press. It doesn't matter anymore, Megan. We forgot they whipped your ass in Britain until you brought us this show, and we had to remember, damn, they whipped your ass. So you showing us this crazy perception in this house that's not yours, and a fridge that is so staged that it cannot possibly be holding any ingredient or any prep for your show. Like, it's uncomfortable.
Girl, and I was looking up, reviews of the show, which of course, her haters, which I kind of feel bad for her, have been flooding it and giving her one stars and honestly kind of saying everything that we're saying. But that re they reminded me that she also had like a podcast that got canceled after 12 episodes. So it's like, at what point are you going to reinvent yourself and just be yourself? Because this branding of yours is not connecting with viewers
And I
at all.
listened to every episode of that podcast, and you're 100% right. Everything is her trying to teach people something. And it's exhausting because, let's be real, Megan, before you married into the royal family, you were an actress. That's a fabulous career. You were very, very loved on the show Suits. I didn't watch it. I don't know if you're great at acting or not. But when did that mean that now you can teach me how to ice a cake and how to harvest honey?
Beats me.
And I just want to know, like, why everything is a lesson. And to the podcast point, every episode was supposed to be someone trying to speak from their perspective to be like lessons learned, but the way she spoke felt like she was giving people space to share their experience that she also had, and therefore she could tell people this is how this experience was. And it came off patronizing, to be honest.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Yeah, I'm curious to see what they do next, girl. Because I know don't to date seems the only thing that's been successful that they've done is Harry's book, which I still haven't read and I probably won't read. But I'm not that invested into the royals, to be honest. Well, the modern day royals.
I began reading his book, and then I'm not a big memoir person. The only memoir I really read and like really enjoyed was Michelle Obama's. But yeah, the
I
let
randomly read and bought Brandy from Housewives of Beverly Hills memoir, and it was excellent. Highly recommend it. It was really good.
That's hilarious, her messy ass.
Girl, that's why it was good, because she's messy as fuck.
But one thing I will give her credit for, Miss Sussex, is the ideas are cute. They are executed well. It's just not the right messenger or the right tone and mood. Like, I loved There's a part in the second episode where she makes this fruit rainbow platter for a kid's birthday. And she also, I think, made a crudité platter in the first episode. And like, clearly she knows how to food style. Clearly she knows how to like make things look great and taste great. But you can't focus on that because you're so focused on what she's saying and how she's
Right.
saying it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we shall see if With Love gets renewed for the second season. I won't be watching, but you guys take a gander and let us know what you think. We'll be talking turkey. Once we make
I'll probably watch for the plot. I need to see how this pans out, and I also love a good play in the background show, so I'll see where it goes.
All right, let me know what you think. All right, so moving on to the next segment, our main topic at hand, the bar for millennial lore. Now, this topic kind of came up because I was out last Sunday at this bar and I was with some millennials. And one, looking cute as we always do, millennials, we're going to get dressed. I think that to me, you can tell the difference between a millennial and a Gen Z based off outfit alone. Like Gen Z is very, I mean, and I will say the black girls are always gonna, be more stylish, but it's usually a baggy jean, it's a sneaker, it's a tiny top. And millennials, we got that shit on. We put on a little outfit, it's giving a look. But anyway, so we're off in the corner, we're dancing, having a good time, and these two girls pull out a motherfucking digital camera. I literally screamed. I said, "Where did you get that?" I couldn't believe it. I have not seen a digital camera out. I was like, "This is what y'all are doing now? Y'all are so fucking, y'all have no originality." I didn't say that to them, but thinking that to myself. And it just brought me back to the days of being a young millennial and roaming around with a cell phone in one hand and a digital camera in the other when life was sweet. And girls took our pictures and they're like, "They're so cute. You guys look so cute." I'm like, "Bitch, yeah, we look cute. We've been looking cute for the past 15 years. Y'all look like us."
Absolutely. I was at Target. I know we're in the middle of a boycott, but my child's diapers are only sold at Target, so I have to attend. I will say to everyone's happiness and pride, it is empty as fuck. It is the emptiest I've ever seen it. But I was there, and there were these two young girls who were clearly Gen Z, maybe younger, and they were wearing clearly millennial inspired outfits from the hair to the toes. The hair and the tan, just, I was like, am I watching Jersey Shore? This is nutso. But then they were wearing vintage Coach purses. They were wearing low rise jeans that were clearly like a True Religion vibe. They weren't True Religion. I couldn't really get an eye on them to know what they were. But I was like, oh, well. Mind you, I'm not wearing that. If I'm buying Coach, I'm buying the new redesigned styles from the past, and I'm also going to buy the newer designs. I'm not buying a Coach bag from the thrift store that has the CCs on it that looks like I was wearing it in middle school, ripping and running in the streets, tearing it up against a tree, playing tag. That's what that bag looked like. But to your point,
Girl,
Nisha,
can't.
they really, I again will say we are not bashing Gen Z. This is my last comment about the comparison, then we can jump in.
We're really not.
But well, look at y'all. You can't come up with anything original, can you, Mrs. They just like attack us all the time, but now look at you.
Girl, it's giving costume. It's giving you're in costume dressed like us when I was a child, as someone said. And now you're a grown ass woman. Honestly, I just feel like we set the trends. So, okay, so at first I looked up because, this is always like debatable. People like to debate this, which I actually was shocked about this. So, millennial is defined as people born between 1981 and 1996. So, we're like kind of like right in the middle, like being 89. So, we're like very, very much millennials. And I would argue like the 81s, like borderline Gen X. They've had a different experience than us. But I would just say being a millennial and being young, like early 20s, we were having a fucking time, okay? We were not worried. Like when I go out, these Gen Z people, all they're doing is getting content. They're getting content, or they're standing around looking awkward, or they're not dancing. When we were in college in our 20s, we stepped up in the motherfucking club, and we came out. We were dripping sweat. Our hair was sweated out. We were drunk as hell. We weren't worried about anybody looking at us. We weren't worried about the footage, the content, nothing. We were just living life. And they could never.
They could never, and they also could never have the actual emotional intelligence building of learning shame and disappointment when you do look back at your digital footage and realize, wow, that was a mistake
That
because
was so bad.
there's many of the digital camera footage that we posted on Facebook with shame, but still we're like, it's memories. Who
We have shame.
cares?
Are we shameful?
I
I
felt a
feel
lot of shame in some of
really.
those. I posted albums feeling torn between, wow, what a great time. We look fun and cute, and
Use this.
I look really crazy in this photo. My dad is on my Facebook.
I was on your Facebook.
It's just, there was a fine line, and we always chose vibes. We always chose happiness. We always chose what was best for living in the moment and recognizing and being grateful for your opportunity to be young and free.
I honestly did not know that you had ever had feelings about, because I didn't have any feelings about the pictures. It was just like, if I took these pictures, they must go on Facebook. Like the whole album, like there were no pictures. I honestly don't think, like the way people edit things now, there's no way I took 100 pictures in a night and went through and said, well, I'm gonna delete these 20. I'm not gonna upload them. Like they were all going up. Let's not forget the crazy ass titles for the albums. I just looked up on my Facebook, and I looked up a couple of albums that you are in because you're in all of my albums. One is called Comida, Fuck That, We About to Party with Wise, and it was from Halloween. I have no idea what the context of that was. I think it was just somebody said something, and I named it that in the album. There's another that says, Can I Have Your Number with 5 A's at the end of number. Number is spelled NUMBA, in case you didn't get that.
I wish that I remembered the context of these because they were so important that they were the titles.
Absolutely. There's also We Back Bitches that was coming back to sophomore year. Had to make sure people.
Wow. I feel like that energy is what I want to talk about too right now. I feel like, of course, I don't know Gen Z's experience, but I could imagine that it was very different, especially with COVID. But we were also so confident in a time in our lives where we were still learning so much.
Oh, we were so confident, girl. You couldn't tell me shit when I was in college. You couldn't tell me I wasn't the baddest bitch when I was in college, girl. Look at these fucking pictures now and these things. It's like, girl, the Lulu. And I love that for me. Frontal cortex was not developed
And
in me.
that there wasn't any reason to not feel that way because everyone around us felt that way. Because that's how you should feel between the ages of 16, damn it, maybe even 13 to 25. You should feel like I'm on top of the world. I am having the best time. I only want to be around the best people and do the best things. And to your point about why this topic was so relevant for us to talk about, when we went out, I vividly remember when I was old enough to go to clubs in the city that's near where I'm from, Washington, D.C. And there were iconic clubs such as Club Love that I remember it was so hard to get into, and literally everyone was standing and dancing. There were not tables to buy at the, I guess, quantity that you can now. There were not tons of bar seats because the point of the club was to go there, mingle and talk and dance and show off your business casual. That
Girl,
was it.
absolutely. It was the same thing where I'm from too. We definitely there was no like the way now when you go to the club, it's all sections. Back then there wasn't no motherfucking section. There might have been three, it might have been like a stage. I don't even think there were sections. I don't think it was a thing. Like I don't know when that became a thing. And you had to mingle, you had to mix with the crowd, you had to party, you met boys, you was doing a little bump and grind on them. And that's how we was coming out with our hair sweated out and looking crazy, but we had the best time. Like, and these Gen Z could never, like, they don't even dance. They don't even dance on each other. They don't even dance at all. They don't even sweat.
And like, it's okay to party a little differently, but where's the party? I don't
Not
see,
a
yeah, I just don't see them partying. Like, anything they do doesn't look fun. And I really enjoy thinking about the efforts that we went into to go out. Like, it was a whole production. And the production did not involve, like you said, content creation. It also didn't involve like doing a shit ton of hair and makeup. What it involved was making memories together, like pre-gaming. Yes, of course. If you can't drink alcohol, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean, like, if you go meet up with your friends, everyone's getting ready at the same place, talking about where they're going, making plans for the night, like that, I feel like is dead. Like people just like
Girl,
don't do that.
I honestly, I don't think they pre-game either. Like we used to pre-fucking game. Like we were drinking bottles of liquor before we even stepped foot out the door. We were trash. Like it was given. There really was no need to drink at the bar because we were that fucked up.
Yeah, and it
And
was.
it was like a whole production. Like it was hella people. Like the pre-game was a party. Like you better not miss the fucking pre-game. Like I
Yeah.
can't miss the pregame. I have to be there.
And when we arrived to wherever we was going, the party continued. The vibe stayed high.
The vibes stayed high. The vibes were so high the whole night.
It was like we're here for a good time. We are not here for anything but that.
And we were there for
And
a long time too, though, because we was at the letouts. We was at the pregame. We was at the pregame the whole time. We was at the party the whole time. We was at the letout the whole time. We was at the after getting food the whole time. Like it was, we were the vibes. The vibes stayed high.
I think that's why I'm so tired now, because like you said, we was out and we wasn't okay. So we went to what, quite frankly, is arguably the number one party school in the nation. And anyone that wants to have an argument about that, they can argue. That's fine. That's what I'll say. We partied not just Saturday, guys. Guys, there were Wednesdays, and we would go to class Thursday.
Yeah, what day did we, was there a day we like wouldn't go out? Like it was like, oh no, I definitely can't go out because it's Tuesday or
I
something. I
feel
don't
like
know.
it was dry on Mondays and Tuesdays, but there was opportunity. There was always a place to go. But we were out at least Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we wasn't out Thursday off some like, oh, we'll start pre-gaming at 8. No, class was done. We were in the streets, drinking, having the best time at
When did
4
they change?
p.m.
I'm remembering a bar that was like lit on Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday thing.
Likely. And that's what brought so much fun to every moment. I remember meeting this very sweet girl my last year, both of us in the same major, final class, and I will never forget us frolicking from our class down into the downtown area on a random motherfucking day just to go have some motherfucking drinks and fries at like noon, because
Girl,
that's what you do.
let's not forget the drinks. Now that is a big part of millennial lore. We was drinking $2 drinks, full cups of liquor, $2. We was drinking
Pictures.
beers. We was drinking
Pictures.
beers. There
I
are
don't.
pictures of us holding a full pitcher of alcohol with a straw in it.
And we were able to function. I want to emphasize to you all that we are not lying about the pictures. There were multiple places that provided us pictures.
Long Island pitchers at that.
Bacardi 151 pictures, people. They provided us immense happiness and also pure chaos, but the chaos was positive. We were chaotically having a good time.
Were, if we were, and what I mean, like he's the vibes were high. My next album, I'm gonna put that. My next Instagram post, I'm gonna put that. The vibes were high.
Yes. Absolutely. And I think also we can all look back and make fun of the fact that we were wearing business casual because some of the things were very ridiculous, like the peplum tops, the pencil
Bandage.
skirts,
Everything bandage. Bandage dress,
band.
bandage skirt.
But what you said too is important. We got dressed.
We did get dressed. We got dressed, girl, the highest heel, the Jessica Simpsons, baby, 6-inch chunky platform, Jeffrey Campbell's.
Jeffrey Campbell's.
And we was teetering and we were fucked up on stilts. We were on fucking stilts walking to the club, trash all night. I don't think the shoes really came off. I mean, they were like a platform, so they're probably comfortable. I can't remember now, but
Yeah.
I had these silver Jessica Simpsons. Somebody asked me, was I a stripper? I was like, nigga, I'm in fucking college. What are you talking about?
No, we did not take off our shoes.
Don't think we did either.
That was a no-no.
It was a time, baby. And that was just the college days. So that was like 08 to 2011. We're not even getting into the music that we had. Like, this is before mumble rap came out. We were literally dancing. We were singing. We were rapping. Like, we knew you could understand every word that was being said in a song. This is Chris Brown at his fucking peak. Rihanna was at her fucking peak. Nicki just came out. Fucking
Kanye West.
Kanye West. Like, literally, like you go into the fucking club and the set, the dream, Jay Holiday, like, what?
Meek Mill.
Lady Gaga.
Wait. No. We're forgetting one of the most important artists of our time, Travis Porter.
I don't know why I thought that was like 2012 to 2014. That was college.
Because we introduced it to my husband and his friends. They did not know who Travis Porter was
We know who they were.
because we are more eclectically inclined. I don't know. Like, they were just listening to like Northern rap.
Right. I was like, I don't even know. I don't know what they was listening to in the North back then. I definitely know that we brought swag. Swag Surfing came out while we were in college. We learned that shit when we went to Hampton for their homecoming, brought it back to our school, and nobody knew what it was but us. And I vividly, I will never, now my memory is some shit, but I will never forget that.
Oh, and
What is this? This is amazing.
we lived for that moment. because why not? I also remember practicing crank that in one of our fucking dining halls in the late hours of the night, practicing it because it was so important to get right, because we all were cranking that at every party, at every club, because we danced.
Crank that Superman, crank that Batman, crank that Spider-Man. We danced. We did dance. What a time, what a time, what a time.
What a time.
And that, and again, that was 07 to 2011. So I honestly will argue, I mean, I don't know about you, because I know you had, you were in like serious school. I mean, my school was serious too, but it wasn't as hard.
I would
I'm
argue
so
my
no.
majors were not hard.
No, I'm talking about after. So like the 2012 to 2014, I'm saying I was still partying then, and you were in like serious school. So
Oh.
of how much you did then, but like that period of time, like when I was now in my 20s and I'm like I had money and I didn't have to go to school outside of the, yeah, didn't go to school, the club was still lit. And that era is the Drake going up on a Tuesday. That was the Fetty Wap era. That was the Future March Madness. Like that little span of years there, millennials still running shit. Gen Z, nobody even knew what the fuck a Gen Z was.
Shit, we played March Madness as the last song at my wedding. It was impactful. You're right. I mean, the Fetty Wap era, that when his music comes on, I get goosebumps thinking about the times that I had with that music.
Right, it was just like a very specific niche period in time, and it's like you can't explain this to anyone who's not a millennial. You
You
just can't.
can't. You can't. And that's why that ball boy, that the one of the Ball Brothers that came out with
Oh.
his song, is such a hit. 'Cause I was saying, of course it's a hit, because it tapped into the millennial genre that we love so much. We define the charts a lot of times. Like, we will say when something is a hit and when something's not a hit.
Yes, absolutely. I 100% agree with that. Because again, this is the period before mumble rap, where they and the TikTok rap, where they're just like, they put out a snippet of a song, they make a dance about it, or like a little, challenge or whatever. And because of that, we didn't have none of that. It was literally like we were playing the whole song. Like your whole song had we had to know what the we're actually singing in the club.
I looked up to make sure that the dates were right for Travis Porter. Travis Porter and Roscoe Dash's All the Way Turned Up came out in 2009.
Damn.
I think you're thinking of some of their later songs, but like All the Way Turned Up.
You imagine being in the club hearing that? You drunk as fuck all the way, turned up. All the whole crowd is going crazy. We're holding our drinks in the air. We're
All
twerking.
the way turned. Like, we were
Me
having.
back. Oh, wait, 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 wait. One of my all-time favorite memories to this day, when I hear this song, I think about 2010, New Year's Eve, 2010, midnight hits, and they fucking play No Hands in DC at a club. We were there in our section. We were in college. Like, never ever will I forever forget that. Like, ever. That was like one of my best New Year's. To this day,
That was lit. Like,
the
that.
vibes were fucking high.
It
We
was
call this the vibe
amazing.
for high. This might be the bar for vibes. I don't fucking know. Like, this is getting me excited.
If we went out and 1 a.m. hits and all I hear is that music, it's the best night of my life. I am having the best night of my life. Like, this is everything I want. I don't need to hear anything 2023, 24, 25, I would be fine,
You can't dance.
because
music now that's out. Like, and
No.
I'll ride it to it in my car or whatever, but it's not getting the club lit. It's not getting
No.
bar lit. It's like that honestly, that's why to this day they play a certain sample of music on every party. You're gonna hear a certain sample of music from back then. They're gonna play Your Future. They're gonna play, they still play No Hands, and it's
They
2025.
there's so much more. Like, even when I was just thinking about like movies that have come out and shows that have come out, like personally, I think we own Game of Thrones.
Absolutely. This came out in 20.
So
Absolutely. The Office was out, it was still airing when we were young, college age.
I will never forget us waiting for the new episode of Jersey Shore,
New episode. I knew you were
having fucking watch parties.
about to fucking say that,
Jersey
Jersey Shore.
fucking Shore. I just want to say, no one does reality TV
Like
like,
those.
no, we had
Flavor of Love, Rock of Love, Real Housewives. Remember when fucking Real Housewives in New York dropped? We were in college. Season one of New Housewives, Real Housewives of New York dropped.
I will never forget watching it on my baby ass TV with you.
We watched it live. We watched it, the new
Yes.
episodes fresh dropping live.
You know who we haven't mentioned?
Who?
Gucci Mane.
I don't know how we haven't.
I will never forget being
Soundtrack of my youth.
like being high as a kite, watching the Lemonade video over and over and over again. Like, it literally altered my entire perception of the video. Like, if I watch that video right now, I'll be like, that's not how I remember it, because I only experienced it in the way that I just described.
Fucking Lil Wayne, no ceilings.
I literally just felt my heart stop, because I can't believe I didn't mention that mixtape when I played that mixtape to the ground.
All people didn't mention that.
Played that mixtape to the ground.
But again,
That,
came out in our youth. These came out
yes.
millennial. These were the soundtrack of our times. These kids could never, they don't get it. They could never. They could
It
never.
it's like I can't even describe the feeling of Drake dropping Thank Me Later. Like, as someone that listened to mixtape Drake, I was so excited. And I, as I said about No Ceilings, ran Thank Me Later to the motherfucking ground.
I did too. I definitely too.
Like,
Actually, no, not
we.
thinking later. I didn't wasn't thinking. No, you. Yeah, that one was you. I'm thinking about the Take Care album. That was the one I ran to the
Oh
ground.
yes, that one was also ran. I mean, let's be real. Drake was ran to the ground for the first
Or he
out.
started getting all fake, tough rap guy. Even you.
I would say, like, I stopped running his music to the ground at Nothing Was the Same, and that was,
That's fair.
yeah.
The last one for me for him was the If You're Reading It Now, It's Too Late. Now that was the soundtrack of my summer 2016. And again, still millennial lore. Still
Yeah.
running. He's
I
hard to
like that one, but I think he was trying to be tough in that one a little
Yeah. Like, we
bit.
don't know him like that. That's not the Drake we know. Girl, I was watching fucking Degrassi. Okay.
Yes.
I was watching him in a wheelchair, so it's like, boy, stop, please, stop that.
Yes.
And now look at
Yes.
me now.
Like, think about Thank Me Later for a second and think about Fireworks.
That's a good
That to me is like, who is this person that we're now looking at? And you made fireworks? Like, come on, bro.
need to go back to basics, really. I'm all for, as I know you are too, the artists and their evolution of music and their sound, but it's like, you're not evolving. You're trying to be something you're not, and you're trying to put that in the music. And it was riding. I'm gonna say it was riding because of Gen Z, honestly, because they don't know you the way we know you, Drake. We know that the millennials know.
And that's why I think everything that he's put out in probably the last 5 years just isn't like a timeless album, a timeless song. Like it's just radio hits that like it comes and goes. Like I will never listen to honestly Nevermind ever again.
I don't think I will either. I
I
don't
don't
think I
think
have.
I don't think I will.
I can't see myself typing that in and playing.
Never. Never again.
Another music related one. When Nicki came out, she was the only female artist at the time. We can't forget that. Like,
I'll
we have.
never forget it, Nisha, because it is one of my foundational arguments for why she is a psychopath now. We need to, I will, okay. I'm gonna reel this in for a second because we can have a whole episode about Nicki Minaj because I will always give Nicki Minaj credit where it is due. I think she is immensely talented. I think she was immensely impactful in rap. But Nicki Minaj had no competition for the majority of her career.
Oh.
And she struggled greatly to share the space and welcome others. And that is why now she is where she's at.
I 100% agree. I was just saying that she was pivotal during our youth.
I'm sorry, I'm very passionate about that topic because I feel like now we have such
There's so many
a,
rap girlies, and I love it. I love it.
yeah, it's so refreshing. Like it's like our youth where we had so many rap females. We had Missy motherfucking Elliott, first of all,
Nikki.
Lauryn Hill, Eve.
Foxy Brown.
Yes. Like we had even the Charlie Baltimores, the bitches that said with they were there for 2 seconds, hopped on a two songer, and we was like, that's my bitch. But Nicki, and let's not forget Nicki Baby. Let's not forget what song was going up in the fucking club for you. It was Starships, okay? It was Starships.
Base, but yeah,
Oh,
Starship.
you're right. So, I mean, both two sides of the same goddamn coin, a pop song. A pop song. Also, one of her best songs that I find to be one of my favorites, Moment for Life, also could be argued as a pop song.
Beautiful song.
But that was, I mean, we still play Moment for Life to this day.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. The one female artist that was really pivotal in our the soundtrack, the playlist of our millennial lives. But well, we talked about having this be a part two and three and four, and we could continue on. So I think that's a good start to the millennial lore. More things will come up. Well, I guess our final segment of the episode. So this is QTNA question answers. Here's the QTNA of this episode. Do you reply to your ex that you have told not to contact you when she reaches out and drops the C word, aka cancer? So basically, this person, you told them not to hit you up, haven't heard from them in months. They hit you up out of the blue and they sneak into this hit up that they have cancer. They drop it in there in the bomb. What would you do?
I mean, I'm just really shocked because why do I need to know? And that doesn't mean that I don't feel bad. That doesn't mean, let me pump it real quick because I already jumped into the very murky, dirty waters. But I feel bad, okay? I don't want anyone to have cancer. Awful, awful, awful. But I do wonder why, if we do not speak, we have made an arrangement to not speak. I need to know, except for it makes me question your motives of reaching out. Like you're sharing this with me because you want to use this as an opportunity to reconnect, because maybe right now you are becoming really reflective about life and the longevity of your life, and you want to bring me back to your life. But personally, I do not think that is a valid reason to bring people back into your life that you have purposefully removed.
Yeah, I agree. I'm thinking about The exes that I've had that specifically said, leave me the fuck alone. You've been cut off, you've been blocked. And somehow you found a way to still reach out to me. And I already told you, leave me alone. So, one, you are not respecting my wishes to be left alone. And you decided that your desire for me to know this information is more important than respecting my desire for you to leave me out of your life completely. So, one, it's giving, you're still a red flag. And two, you just like putting that in there, Cancer obviously is trying to bait me because you know I'm gonna, you knew me at one point in time and you knew that's something that would make me reach out to you or maybe respond. So it's not just the, oh, hey, what's up? Or like, it's almost like reaching out to someone like, hey, somebody died because it's like to your earlier point, like, why do I need to know that? We're not in, we're basically strangers now.
I think you hit the nail on the head about like, why are my boundaries less important than you sharing this information? It just, you
Have
know.
friends. Don't you have family? Don't you have people in your life that you can talk to about this? Like, why me?
And I don't know what it feels like, and I don't want to ever know what it feels like to imagine your life ending sooner than you anticipated. But I honestly don't think I would reach out to anybody that I have decided not to talk to anymore for the sake of any reason. I think, wouldn't you want to enjoy what life you have? And I feel like that, regardless of if you know for a fact that you're ill or not, we should all be living our lives with the anticipation of never knowing when the last day will be. And therefore, wouldn't you want to live every day to the fullest with happiness versus like desperation and negativity? Because that's what that would give to me, is like you being so desperate to like bring other people back into your life that you know for a fact shouldn't be in your life, and therefore it's negative because you're trying to like rebuild a relationship that's not there. Why not focus on the good in your life and your moments?
No, I totally agree. I think that people, as we know, are innately selfish, and your that person's rationale for reaching out to you, it was not meant to benefit the receiver of the information in any way. It was meant to dump on them or draw them back in, thereby, I would say, a form of manipulation, whether they recognize it or not. Because, again, to your earlier question, why do I need to know that? No shade, no shade, no tea.
So I would say my answer to this is no. I do not think I would answer. Quite frankly, no one that I don't want to access me can access me. And if you find a way, I would be shocked. Because
No
I'm
one's ever hit
assuming,
you up on Cash App.
I don't even think I have the Cash App app anymore. You will have to use someone else's contact to reach me, or Google Voice or something, because
Use Google Voice to contact someone.
that's like kind of crazy. But yeah, it's a no for me, dog. Like, it's just, I would open that text and I would screenshot it, and then I would talk about it for the rest of my life with my friends, because isn't that what we do?
That is what we do.
we rehash the bullshit forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
And it is brought up repeatedly. You remember when that motherfucker, blah, 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 like, and you get added to our lore, our
Like,
personal lore.
exactly. Anytime that there's any note or thing seen, like, oh, you remember also when they did this?
Girl, as one the one of the famous quotes of yours that I have put into my memory, my curiosity will not trump my pride. I will not respond.
Absolutely
I do
not.
have pride, and I'm thankful. I thank God every day I have a healthy dose of pride, because people be going out sad, and it's sad to see.
And I think it's because our frontal lobes are developed and we actually, as millennials,
That's good.
understand shame. We have felt shame, disappointment, embarrassment. We have had a call to our face. And so we have pride because we're like, I don't want to feel like that no more. And so we won't let no curiosity about no bullshit disrupt that, because we like, wait, I'm not about to go back and forth with this person just because they said they have cancer. Am I supposed to help with the cancer? What is the goal?
What is the fucking goal? For real.
But you know what? Now that I think about it, the only thing I may answer to is if they shared a fundraiser. Like if someone shared,
Okay.
like,
That's fair.
I really need support. I mean, we all know healthcare is like awful. And if they shared a fundraiser saying, like, I would really appreciate support, I may just send money to the link of the fundraiser anonymously. I still won't respond to the text.
No, that's fair. I think, 'cause then it's like there's a specific ask, right? Like to donate versus, you're just telling me just to tell me, like, what is the ask here? So, okay. Well, it sounds like we're both in agreement that we probably wouldn't respond. I mean, I'm thinking of specific exes, and you, child, you would have to give me money for me to respond to you.
Yeah,
The exes that I'm
100%.
thinking about, so.
I'm not even just thinking about exes. I'm thinking about any man that I've decided I don't want in my life.
Why would a man be here? Why would a literally, why would a fucking man be here?
It's just like, I don't.
Next time I get a text on my phone, like, why would he be on my phone? Why would a man be here on my phone? Why?
That man could be a man I used to work with. Get off my phone. Get off my phone. That's
Why would
the.
a man be here? Well, I think we answered the question. I think we discussed the topics. So yeah, I think we can wrap on today's episode. The bar for millennial lore. Hashtag nothing but vibes. Just vibes. Had to be there.
And that's the bar of it. The standard for being a millennial is the vibes are high. If your
The
vibes are not
vibe.
high, you're not able to access the millennial lore.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been lovely chatting as always,
As
and
always.
we're really, really excited about how much positive feedback we have recently received, and we are excited for our podcast to continue. And again, if anyone wants to share with us any questions or topics that they're interested in us yapping about, please do. It's been great.
Been amazing. See you guys next time at
Bye.
the bar. Bye.